up, everybody? It's the Steve Show. Just got back from the Howard Street Fair. Cruised over to Marin. Spent the night. Cruised back home this morning. It was a great party, man. Really, really good time. I fucking nailed it this year, dude. It was so off the hook. What I need to do is play you something that I've already recorded. Makes my life easy. Hey, now.
Give it a one. I'll give it a two. I'll give it a three. I'll give it a four. I'll give it five. One to ten, me. Five. I got hair. It's all right. Five. Well, here we go, people.
2019, how's everybody doing out there in Happyville? What? Give it up for Brett Elvis Antosh.
Hey, good to be back on the Stu Show.
That's right. Here we are back hanging out at the household. Like, we got the High Weird Street Fair coming up in about the...
Four days?
Five days.
5 days?
Calendar days, but four and a half days.
Okay, four and a half, yeah. It's May 5th. The theme this year, Talk to the Big Man.
The 80s, but the 80s from 1880s and 1980s. Steampunk versus cyborg.
Oh boy, we're gonna have some great costumes this year. There's gonna be all the usual suspects, but what we need you to do is come on down to San Francisco. Are you gonna be at the Howard Street Fair?
Oh yeah, wouldn't miss it. I think I've caught pretty much everyone.
Like, Santa's just got back on a long trip. Why don't you give us a breakdown, like, you know, the cliff notes on where you went and then how you made it to that sailboat, which I'm not going to say where you sailed to, but it was a kick-ass sailboat, dude. I mean, that's top of the line. I've been on a lot of sailboats, and that one was like, it's up there, kind of stars and stripes, just kind of a sailboat. But anyway, let's hear from you.
All right. Well, we flew to Santiago, Chile in early November 2018.
Talk to me. Santiago, Chile.
Check. It's the capital of Chile, and it's where you can get a vehicle, and I bought a vehicle. After looking for about a week, we found a really good, affordable craft that was all set up for this kind of trip, including a bed, including a cooler, including storage area, including a stove, including a second battery, including all these kind of things we never even got around to using.
Name the town where you bought the vehicle.
Santiago, Chile.
And so you're thinking, fuck, I could probably get a Lamborghini for like $500. No, I'm kidding. But like, how much did you have to pay?
$5,500 cash.
55 hondos. But it was sweet.
Yeah. It was all set up for the kind of trip I wanted to do. The guy who owned it brought it down from Quebec, Canada. So the thing that was strange about it is it had Quebec, Canada plates. And that may have been why nobody else wanted it, because it would be difficult to sell. But it turned out when I was in southern Patagonia, somebody had seen the ad for it on Drive the Americas. And that's where I originally found it. Mm. Bought it and sold it off this website. Kind of a Craigslist or information bulletin board.
I think if you have a great vehicle that runs great and people can trust you before, you know, like, you take them on like a little journey and they're like, yeah, this is exactly what I'm looking for. I don't care what the plate says.
Well, yeah, but there's ramifications to having plates from out of the continent, really. It turned out it wasn't a big deal for us. It never really made a difference, and it didn't affect when we sold the car. The guy was okay with it and knew what it was going to take to make it legal, and it's up to him to make it legal. But as far as I can tell, it's still down in Patagonia in a town called El Chaplin, which is on the...
El Chapo! No, I'm just kidding.
Southern Patagonia, where the mountains get really spectacular. You may have heard of Torre del Pines or the Teat Moreno Glacier, where it just calves right down into the lake, Lago Argentino. Mm-hmm. Lake Argentina is the largest lake in Argentina, and these glaciers just flow right into it, including one of them that you can get right up and watch it from across. Yeah.
Well, just for the listeners, I'm just breaking it down. Northern California versus Argentina. What's the difference?
There are similarities. They're both Mediterranean climate. Argentina goes from steamy, hot jungle up in the Amazon area that we came down after dropping elevation from Bolivia. And then it went into the Pampas, the outback, the long... Patagonia is really long. It goes for hundreds of miles, oftentimes between any kind of towns and stuff. It's really remote.
To be totally honest, the only thing I know about Patagonia is that they make super warm, toasty, comfortable jackets. So I feel super stupid right now. But tell me about Patagonia.
Well, the sportswear is great. And you know the little logo you see? There's like a... There's a range of mountains on the Patagonia patch. Do you recognize it? Remember it?
Yeah.
Well, that's Fitzroy Mountain, and that's where I sold the car. Oh. Right in the shadow of Mount Fitzroy is where I sold the vehicle.
That's nice.
And it's free trekking. You can just pull up to this town, which is only like 20 years old, and it's totally suited for travelers. And this guy who had a couple of very successful restaurants... who is also taking payment in cash. He had a wad of hundreds and fifties. You're said, I want to buy this car from you. And he saw the ad on Drive the Americas.
It's for American money?
Yeah, I mean, it was just total.
Back, yeah, I'll be taking that. Thank you. Bye. Here's the keys.
Yeah.
See ya.
Then we were in backpacker mode and we had to take buses. First to Bariloche and then to Buenos Aires. Then we took a ferry.
Longest bus ride.
Probably Bariloche to Buenos Aires. About 24 hours.
On a bus.
Yeah.
Straight.
Yeah.
I'm an Aries.
But they were recliner chairs. It was pretty deluxe.
Bathrooms?
Aries.
They did.
Oh. Oh, boy. I've never been on a 24-hour flight, let alone a 24-hour bus ride.
Yeah, we left in like 1 in the afternoon and got to Buenos Aires about the same time the next day. And then we got a short cab ride.
You have to admit, listeners, when you hear the word, we were in Buenos Aires.
Doing like, tango.
I'm an Aries, so it just sounds more appealing to me than probably most people that are listening to this. But I'm like this. That means the kick-ass Aries. And that would be me. Buenos Aires.
That's him. But it was named Good Air. We heard some stories that there were some bad neighborhoods and people got robbed, including one of the Polish guys on our boat got held up by a corrupt taxi cab driver and stole his passport and his money and stuff. So he got pretty shooken up, and we were kind of like, we want to just go kicking on the beach. Because we only got 1 week of beach weather on the trip driving up through Chile.
Right.
And then as soon as we got to Peru, it was one more day on the beach, and then we were just going up, up, up to the very high elevations around Cuzco and Machu Picchu.
So you were heading to the most famous postcard.
Yeah, all that.
Machu Picchu.
All of that.
And was it touristed out? Like
it is, but it's amazing, and you can see why. It's not that easy to travel up there, especially... When you land at Cuzco, it's at 11,500 feet.
The harder it is
to get somewhere.
So it's
super high elevation.
The harder it is to get somewhere, the less, I'm not going to say douchebags, but I'll just use jerks.
Rich dorks.
Are going to make it up there.
Yeah.
Unless someone's going to backpack them. Like, you know,
Well, there are package tours.
No, I meant like, I'll carry you on my back. It's like, no, the harder it is, the cooler the place, the less dorks you'll meet when you get to the top and you get there. You're like, oh man, it's all the cool people.
Right.
Usually, I don't know.
Well, there's backpackers and those are pretty cool people. We went into this one town in the Sacred Valley of Peru called Pizac. And there was a lot of expatriates or people that were just traveling through and loved the town and ended up living there for months or years. Mm. Peru's really mellow, and Bolivia too. It's very indigenous. They're pretty chill. No crime that we were experiencing. And it wasn't very difficult to travel through, not compared to some countries where you could run into like militaries or banditos or dangers along the road. I didn't sense any of that on this trip.
Are those
we
the
did
guys
about
that are
5,000 miles or more driving. Hell of a lot of driving.
Let's keep moving. Your next spot you showed, where'd you go?
Then it was into Bolivia from Lake Titicaca, the highest
lake
elevation
cocaine.
Lake in the world and the largest.
And once again, in my Coronado brain, I'm like this, Bolivia, yeah, they're known for cocaine. Yeah, that's what I know them for.
No, more Colombia, cocaine.
Oh, there's Bolivia.
But it's high elevation.
Oh,
yeah, it grows
buddy.
There.
Trust sure. you me, they have Bolivian coke.
Okay, man. but Bolivia was this really cool lake, way high elevation. Then we went to Tiwanaku. And then we went to La Paz, Bolivia, the capital, where they have gondolas as the transportation system over the city, which was pretty cool.
That's pretty good surf in La Paz?
No, La Paz is up at 11,000 foot elevation. It's
so
super high up.
You can't go surfing at all?
Not there.
Because, believe it or not, there is a really good surf spot in Mexico called La Paz.
Yeah, La Paz, Mexico, but not
right.
La Paz, Bolivia.
No, right.
Bolivia is one of the two landlocked countries in South America, the other being Paraguay, which we were going to go to, but we were told is very boring and there might be banditos and no reason to really go. So we skipped Paraguay and skipped Iguazu Falls, which I really did want to see.
Super?
Instead, made a beeline straight down through Argentina to get to Ushuaia, which is the southernmost city in the world. And there we met the captain, where we got on the sailboat to go to Antarctica.
Wow. All right, now hold on, because me being the full-on jigging at Mariner stud, how many feet was the boat?
74 feet.
A 74-foot sailboat.
Small boat.
14 people.
That's a small boat for that passage.
For going on that trip? Yeah, it's kind of more like something you'd want to kick ass going fast in San Diego and rather than do this trip. But let's hear what you had to say about it, Santesh.
Well, we are crossing the Drake Passage, which is the most notorious sea passage for boat travel. But because the southern tip of South America, where we were, is the closest in proximity to the most northernmost point on the Palmer Peninsula, that's where most cruise ships and tourists go. And most people do go to Antarctica on cruise ships, over 90%. It's kind of rare.
Going on a booze cruise!
And you can get a buffet.
Yeah, but you still get seasick.
And how do you park the cruise ship? Did you take a small boat in from the cruise ship to Antarctica?
Yeah, they have...
Say that one more time.
Oh, so you take a small boat from the cruise ship onto the mainland of Antarctica.
Zodiac boats.
You gotta use a little rubber boat?
Yeah.
With a little motor on there. I love Zodiacs. I think they're cool, but most people would be like, oh my God!
Yeah, they get to about 6 full days in Antarctica on a cruise ship. But the upside is it only takes them 2 days to come over the Drake because they can motor it pretty fast. Where it took us 4 days.
4 days.
Yeah, and 6 coming back.
Around, like,
almost now, this is the
our
one thing.
Sunday was our first day on the Drake Passage coming back. And it was kind of laying in the bunk all day. Wow. I have talked to my friend Santej a little bit, you know, not earlier today, but like a couple weeks ago. And he's been back. He's hanging in Santa Cruz. Everything's all gravy train. And when you were on that boat, you got seasick and were vomiting to where you couldn't keep food down. Am I right or wrong with that?
So the first day on the trip was on the Beagle Channel, and it was quite calm seas, and we saw penguins swimming along our boat. We saw dolphins come swimming up, like we saw them a half mile away coming over, and they're getting closer, and they saw and heard the boat and came right over to see us. So we were like, oh, this is great. This is going to be a fun little trip. And then we turned onto the Drake Passage, and everything changed. So within an hour or two, the seas kept getting rougher and rougher, and then we just all, one by one, started throwing up. Oh. And you basically throw up everything that you got in your stomach for the last 2 days or so.
Yeah.
Until you're dry heaving the next day and can't eat anything and really can't even drink anything. Yeah, I think one of the captains purged and the other one didn't.
I think there was a couple people that didn't puke on the boat. That are just probably so seaworthy, they're so used to it.
Yeah.
But,
I know the co-captain, Vortec, he said
he
didn't throw up.
All right, so this is the part that intrigues me. I'm like this. So, you're puking, which is never fun, for the first 5-10 minutes, if it takes that long. You were puking and not being able to eat for how long?
3 days.
3 days?
Yeah, and losing food for the last two, so it was like 5-day fast.
In a row.
Yeah. Yeah, I lost about 25 pounds.
All right, hold on. When was the last time you went without food for 2 days in a row?
Can't remember.
Yeah, me neither, dude. No.
Well, go take the passage crash course in dieting. If you want to lose 30 pounds in 5 days, here's a...
We got the Matt Prey diet. You just snort loads of meth. That'll make you lose weight.
Matt
or
diet.
Get on a sailboat in the middle of one of the way to Antarctica on the Drake. And so how brutal was it not being able to eat and throwing up for 4 days on a boat?
Horrific. It was terrible. Being basically confined to a bunk with the boat at about a 45 degree angle, and it would go down into these troughs that you look around and you just see water all around you. Sometimes we had to go up. If we were feeling okay, we have to go up and help do watch because we were coming into iceberg territory. Ooh. So we had to watch out for the safety of the boat. And we all agreed when we signed on to the trip that we would do that. And being up there during the stormy seas, it's like you just see water all around you. Oh, we are so screwed. But the boat just boom goes right up top. You're like, wow, I can see the horizon for 100 miles in all directions.
It was a small boat for what you did, but the boat itself, I've seen photos of it. It's a very nice boat. I wouldn't have taken it there, I would imagine, after hearing this story. But
it was a former racing boat.
Yeah, but it still, it made it.
New Zealand.
It did its job.
It did its job, yeah. I mean, when we were on the stormy seas, we did catch a storm going out, and it would seem like we were going to die. And some among us thought that they might. But I knew sailing with my dad on a few trips on the high seas that unless the boat is taking on water, you're probably going to ride it through. Yeah. And we did. Yeah. And the boat did hold up remarkably well, and I'm very grateful for that and our Polish crew who are pretty fearless. Like during the storms, a couple guys got hit by this giant wave that just knocked everything off the boat. Wow. In the cabin, just off of our storage bunk.
Tossed
straight across to the other bunks who were down at a 45 degree angle.
They're down, inside the bottom of the boat.
Inside the boat.
All the kitchen stuff.
Yeah, but imagine in an airplane, shit's flying from one side to the other. Wham, wham. You're like, okay, this is not good.
In our bunks, you know, like, I'm so sick, I can't even get up.
Brutal.
The hardest thing to do, the only thing you had to do all day, is get up and go to the bathroom. That's the hardest thing you have to do. And you are holding it till you can't hold it anymore. Because you know, as soon as you get up, you're going to get seasick again. You might fall down and it'll hurt. And it's very challenging just to make your way through the galley to get to the head. And then when you did, well, when I did, yeah, you have to do those... bodily functions, but then just the motion made me sick again. And then so I'm sitting on the toilet. Even when
she was given head, she said, "Hey babe, take a walk on the wild side."
Every sailor knows that the sea a friend made enemy, and every shipwrecked soul knows what it is to live without intimacy. I thought I heard the captain's voice, but it's hard to listen while you preach like every broken way.
This is how I stir up the stew. Just relax, meditate for 1 second. Like that, you know how I roll.
Where you could run into it, did its job. Yeah, I mean, when we were on the stormy seas, we did catch a storm going out, and
it did. Oh my god,
a few trips on the high seas. Then, unless the boat is taking on water,
yeah,
you're probably gonna ride it through off the boat. Yeah, one side is get way and made me sick. Hold.
It's three more. I'm like this. Guess who's setting up camp in the bathroom? Like, I am not getting up. I'm just going to set my bed in the bathroom. And I get up. I just plop down. I'm on the toilet. Like, you guys want to jump over my bed? As long as you're sitting down, you don't spray anything or do anything weird, I don't give a crap, because I'll just go up to the top deck and try to get some fresh air. But, yeah, I'm setting up camp in the bathroom. That sounds so wrong.
Toilet humor.
Yeah. Oh, I hear a woman's voice in the house. Why don't you come in here and give us a little something on this?
Let's get a little testimony from Emily Infinity. Have a seat.
Oh. Emily, Emily. All right.
Are we on camera?
We're going to this.
Oh, we're being recorded? Okay.
That's all you know.
Well, I did get ejected from my bed when that big wave hit, and I was dangling.
Ejected?
Yeah.
Like a cannonball?
Like I was sleeping, and I woke
when
up.
I die, you know, I just want to get blasted out of a cannonball.
If I hadn't held on to the railing, I would have flown across the room, and I would have landed very hard onto very hard, dangerous things. So luckily, like an angel or spirit guide had me.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear you guys talk about this for a second.
Aw, kitty. An angel or spirit guide had me grab the post, because I flew out of the bed.
Grab the post as you're flying?
Yeah.
Put one arm around it?
Yeah.
Whoa. That's almost too much fun.
I know. So, it was very, very nauseating. I mean, this was a racing boat, but it was tilted at a very...
45
degrees. Yeah, like 45, maybe more. I don't know what degree angle it was, but...
That's healed over.
That's... It made it very difficult to operate, and you really couldn't do much other than... maybe fix up yourself a snack, and you had to do it very carefully.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But you got there.
Yeah, and back. Man, but I got my big injury on the way back. I mean, it wasn't a serious injury, but I really wiped out across the room.
What's your hit?
Oh, just
you expect?
Like,
come on, Mortimer.
Things are built in, like tables and chairs and everything's built in. So
I
was pouring a bowl of milk in a bowl of cereal, and all of a sudden a wave hit. It's never expected. It's never consistent. The milk went flying. I went flying, and I landed in all that built-in wood stuff, and I hit it hard.
It's kind of like being in San Francisco and an earthquake hits. You're like, dude, I'm pouring some cereal here.
Right. Yeah.
Except in San Francisco and the quake, right, it's not 45 degrees.
I was gonna take a nap.
That's gonna
go. Okay, well, we should. Yeah, I'm sleepy.
Okay.
I'm sleepy. I want to take a nap.
Enough storytelling.
I was in drugs. Yeah.
You can tell you.
Yeah.
I'd have to eat one of those sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
But we can go whenever you guys want.
Food coma.
Go lay down.
All right, so hold on. There's only one place we call Disneyland in Antarctica. But it's very hard. You have to be either super duper rich, or you gotta fucking know somebody who knows a guy who can get you in there.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
Get to the goddamn spaceships.
No.
Never.
We did get to the penguins, but we couldn't get through the barrier into the interior.
What's the barrier? What stops
you? Well, it's a vast continent, you have to understand. It's twice the size of Australia. It's the fifth largest continent in the world. It's huge. And where these things are located, I still haven't been able to find a really verified GPS coordinates. But if I were to pick a few favorite places or most probable place to look, I could name those to you. Right. And they're all over the place. Some of them that I would like to check out if I were to go back. And I might have an opportunity to go back.
The Stew of the Stew Show was supposed to go on this trip, but he met a new girl and took off without me, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, no spaceship land. We didn't push the issue far enough.
Couldn't find anybody that knew about it. Still don't know exactly where it's supposed to be. Maybe Beardmore Glacier, maybe the Conan base of West Germany over in eastern Antarctica.
If so many people are talking about it, how can you not know pretty much where it is?
It's unidentified flying object.
Yeah, it's supposed to be huge, but there's also the factor that some of the year it might be buried under a new layer of snow and you can't see it from the air. But the distances are so vast. To go do a full exploration and try to find it, it's very expensive to do that kind of.
You gotta be rich.
Do you have any dope ass stories of on your way home from Antarctica?
Well, we got to see Cape Horn, which is the southernmost tip of South America. It's one of the most famous mariner monuments in the world. To a mountain climber, to see Mount Everest is the coup d'etat in their career. For any sailor, to see Cape Horn is the biggest achievement you could make, because the storms are so treacherous and the sea is so dangerous that to round Cape Horn on the boat, yeah, on our way back. That's why it took 6 days. We spent an extra 2 days going back to and then sailing by Cape Horn. And we crossed over into the Pacific and back. And this was something they were all watching, the GPS, and we had to get fully past it. And then they popped the champagne. We drank three bottles of champagne. Just south of Cape Horn, because the Polish sailors were so psyched to see it.
Me and Sean Prine would have done four bottles of champagne.
Well, that was sort of the last hurrah on the trip, and then next day we were entering the Beagle Channel, and by midnight that next day we were back in Ushuaia. And I went out to the car, which had been sitting for nearly a month, and the battery was dead.
Manky beagle. Shit.
So we had to sleep on the boat that night. And then the next day I got a jump. And fortunately, the battery held all the way up to El Chetlin, where I sold it about 400 miles away.
El Chapo!
No, El Chetlin. But you can call it whatever it sounds like to you. It's fine. But that was down in that southern Patagonia region where the national parks are just very dramatic and 3,000-foot mountains soaring straight up in torrid alpines. That's where we were for Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Just 4 days off the boat. Started driving up and touring through that area of Patagonia and had plans to keep on going, but then this guy flashed a lot of money and bought the car from me, and we only had about 10 days to go, so it took us a couple days to take the bus to get back to Buenos Aires. And because we only got 1 week of beach time going up through Chile, we went to this really cool town in Uruguay called Colonia del Sacramento.
Hear good things about Uruguay.
Yeah. Uruguay is a cool country. What'd you hear about it?
Oh, just a friend was thinking about relocating and was checking out South American countries. And
as an expatriate?
Well, sort of. She's Canadian.
Okay.
But spent a lot of time, half the time in the United States. She's an excellent, hot stone masseuse.
Oh.
Yeah.
She'll probably do well then in Uruguay. It's a very laid-back country. People are super chill. We found this super cool town that was 340 years old and like an old town that our first couple nights in the Airbnb, we got to stay right down in the heart of the old town, which is super cool. So just spending different days exploring around. Then we found these cool beaches that we could hang out naked and just sort of have it all to ourselves, and just white sand and beautiful scenery. It was amazing. So a good way to end that trip, which sometimes got kind of brutal in Antarctica.
Well, at least we got a little insight. Did you have a beautiful day today, sir?
What's this?
Did you have a beautiful day?
It was great. Maypole dancing. Yep.
Yeah, we had a great day in Regal Park today in Sebastopol. And everybody had a great time. Avery, even Roseanne and Sarah, Dom's wife, came out. We had lunch. And I hope everyone else has not gotten hurt on the crazy adventures as much as Santosh had to have happened to him. But he still made it all the way to Antarctica, which is pretty crazy. Most people don't have those kind of balls. They'll just take the cruise ship. But anyway, I just want to love you guys. Aloha and say thank you for tuning in. And I'll talk to you next time.
Stew Show!
That's right, baby.
What's up, everybody? It is the Stew. I hope you guys like that. That was his trip down to South America and Antarctica. We just got done the Howard Street Fair, which was off the hook, and I met a girl at the Howard Street Fair that I've had a crush on for like 20 years, and I asked her out, and I got no. Ouch. Anyway, life moves forward. And everybody have a beautiful evening, afternoon, day, whatever you're at right now when you're listening to this. Love you guys all. And I'll talk to you soon. Aloha. Give you some beats for a bounce.
Balance within yourself. Balance to the world. yourself before you can bring balance to the world.
Feeling.